Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we have a special podcast on supporting military pagans. And with me are some of the people that have done military ministries with Circle Sanctuary over the years. I give thanks to all of our military ministers, to all of our DRGLs, Distinctive Religious Group Leaders, who used to be called DFGLs, Distinctive Faith Group Leaders, and all the others who have been part of Circle Sanctuary's military ministries. It's very important that those pagans of different paths that are serving in the military get support, spiritual support, from pagan organizations. Circle Sanctuary began doing military ministries in our earliest days as we started connecting with people in the 1970s by postal mail. And we've gone from providing information, networking, and materials through postal mail to the digital age, where now we are providing networking services not only through podcasts such as this, but live streams on social media and various social media pages. If you aren't familiar with Circle Sanctuary's military ministries, I invite you to go to the Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org, and under our work, you will see military ministries, and that will take you to our overview page, which will talk about our pagan military circles, the Pagan Military Association, the Order of the Pentacle. Those are ways that we are networking, as well as troop support. We have military pagan prayer cards, a couple versions of those, and we continue to send them out as part of our Operation Circle Care, providing support. We have a support altar at our headquarters, the Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. And in our main temple, we have the military support altar. We also have been doing work with veterans as well as those who are active duty and their loved ones. We have a variety of ceremonies that we have done over the years and that we do yearly. Since the pandemic unfolded, we have shifted to doing some of our work online. We still, every year in December, are part of the Wreaths Across America program, in which evergreen wreaths are put on the grave sites of those people who have served in the military that have died and have VA-issued markers. And we have 10 of those markers at Circle Cemetery. And Veterans Day is one of the days that we observe every year. We have the Pagan Military Service Ribbon, and at this Veterans Day, we are celebrating 10 years since that came into being, and we present that in ceremonies to those who have served and are serving. And we can talk more about that in a bit. We also do religious freedom work and some public information through media and social media. I'd like to honor who are part of the Circle Sanctuary Military Ministries team, and these are ministers and ministry and training program participants. So we have in Kansas, Tiffany Andes, in California, Char Bear, in Colorado, Allison Klein, in Virginia, David Ewing and Jeanette Ewing, who are part of our podcasting team as well. I'm part of this team. I'm in Wisconsin. We have James Jufer, who is in New York, but at present time is in South Carolina. We have Chiron, also known as Paul Larson, in Illinois. We have Tristan, also known as Debbie Morris, who has made her home in Maryland but is presently traveling with her partner, Zan. We have Dave Sassman of Indiana, and we have Judith Faze of Illinois. And so I want to acknowledge all of our military ministries team and now also celebrate some of these members as well as others who are part of our show tonight. We have Pamela Kelly, who helped me and Circle Sanctuary move into the realm of podcasting 10 years ago. Yes, we added podcasting to Circle Sanctuary Military Ministries at Veterans Day 2011, and she was a DRGL at Shepherd's Air Force Base in Texas, so she's with us. We also have with us Judith of the Chicago area, who is one of our newest ministers, as is James, who also is one of our newest ministers. We have Dave Sassman, who is known not only for helping to create the Pagan Military Service Ribbon, but also for warrior blessing rituals and is interfaced with a variety of veteran organizations over time. And David and Jeanette Ewing are providing engineering and other support for my podcast every week, and I give thanks and a special shout out to all who are listening live and those who'll be joining us later, and a special thanks to all of our DRGLs and our open circles, which are part of Circle Sanctuary's Military Ministries program. Well, I'd like to begin our time tonight and invite Pam to come on. And this is our 10th anniversary of doing some podcasting. We're taking a special look at supporting military pagans, and open circles is one of the ways that that has happened. So welcome, Pam.
Yeah. Thank you, Selena. This is like, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you've been continuing to do podcasting in a variety of ways, and I'm so glad that you and I were able to do Pagan Warrior Radio 10 years ago.
And then David and Jeanette, too. It's like a reunion here tonight. It's so nice to be back working with Circle Sanctuary. I'm just so honored to have been able to start things off with you in a podcast, Pagan Warrior Radio on 11/11/11, and you also announced the Pagan, the ribbon and the military service ribbon on that night. And it was really important to me as a military family member my entire life to make sure that our community had a way to connect. That's what I'm very glad that you were able to help. You know, that's obviously one of the things that you're very passionate about. I remember being in my 20s and listening to my father in one of his the guys that worked with him complaining about an airman who was in the Air Force Times because she wanted to have the solstice off to recognize because it was her. And I don't know anything about who she was, but I just remember, you know, having to keep it to myself, having to stay in the broom closet because they thought it was so funny that somebody would want to go, you know, have the solstice off. And now, because of what you've done, because of what everyone here is here for, is we can have our own lay leaders and a lot more recognition in the services. So come a long way, huh?
Absolutely. And can you share a little bit about what it was like being the DRGL at Shepherd's Air Force Base? Because you did that for a number of years before you moved east.
Yes. Thank you. It was good and bad. It was one of the most amazing things that I've done. I still am close to a lot of the pagans who went through. Shepherd is a training base. It's not where basic training is, but it's where they get where the students get their secondary training into their tech school. And when I say good and bad, it's very, very, very much under the Bible Belt. And they had groups there in the past, but they kept getting kicked off base because we didn't have an organization like Circle standing there, you know, trying to help us stand up for our rights. And when I first joined as the DFGL, they were they were saying, well, you can have a discussion group, but you can't do whatever it is that you guys do. I'm like, what do you think we do? But I stayed there. I, you know, with your guidance and the guidance of the other people on the military ministry team, we just stayed the course. The group is still going on. Sorsha Taylor is still leading it, and she's amazing. And we went from having you just have a discussion group to they actually made a circle for us in one of the courtyards. So we were able to go from that to being able to do ritual on base, which may not sound like a big deal, but it was.
Well, it's really fabulous, and thank you very much for your work in that area and your work with podcasting and over the years, your support of the various things that Circle Sanctuary does, including its military ministries. I'd like to invite Judith to come on. She's active with being a DRGL. Yes, there has been a pandemic and having people come into Great Lakes hasn't been an option for a while, but that's about to change. And Judith has been part of our military ministries team for a number of years. Welcome, Judith.
Well, thank you very much, Selena. And thank you so much for opening the doors to our participation at Naval Station Great Lakes, giving the naval recruits the opportunity to learn about nature-centered spirituality. And I give thanks to Chiron, Reverend Paul Larson, for being in the DRGL role for a number of years before I started. I started giving services there in 2017, and yes, of course, it's been shut down for 20 months now, but we start up again on December 3rd, and I'm really excited to be back with the recruits because they are just so interested in what we have to say and curious, and I really give thanks to the military for providing the opportunity for all of its personnel to worship in the way that they are called. And I feel very supported at Naval Station Great Lakes by the chaplains there. We actually do worship in a real chapel, and it's got great acoustics. So I've had up to 150 different recruits at a service. And it's very, very rewarding work. In fact, it's because I started working with the recruits that I decided to pursue ordination with Circle in order to more fully serve them and also to step up to the position of fully taking on the mantle of the DRGL.
Well, I'm very appreciative of your work. And, yes, that particular circle that Circle Sanctuary has been sponsoring over the years really started growing and actually started in a much smaller room and then got into a bigger room. And there's been opportunities to try to accommodate a whole lot of people, and I'm really glad that services are starting up again. I'm also thankful that during the pandemic, since it wasn't possible to hold services in person, that you were able to put together a guide for the pagans who were recruits that were there at that place. And I'm wondering if you can just say a little bit about your handbook that you put together that was well appreciated.
Sure. Yeah, the Navy gave me the opportunity to put together a handout. It had to be 10 pages. So boiling down everything that we talk about in nature spirituality into 10 pages was a bit of a challenge, but Selena helped me with that, and I'm very grateful. I have just some basic information about Circle, talking about nature, spirituality. I included a couple of chants and prayers, sample opening and closing ritual, and then an overview of the phases of the moon and some different pagan symbolism. And right now, I know this is a little off track, but we're redoing it for the military corrections complex adjusting it to serve the prison population. So it's getting some traction, and I'm really glad to see that the work we did on it is reaching so many people. They've told me that they have Naval Station Great Lakes, they've handed out thousands of them since we were unable to meet for the last 20 months. So I'm glad we had something to give them, but I really look forward to being back in person again soon.
Well, absolutely, and thank you, too, for your graphic skills and designing our military ministries brochure. And those who are listening live and later, if you would like a brochure, then you can request that by emailing circle@circlesanctuary.org. Or if postal mail is your thing, we still do work through postal mail. You can send it to Circle, P.O. Box 9, Barneveld, Wisconsin, 53507, USA. Well, I'd like to invite into the conversation another new minister, James Tufer. So, James, welcome. And you actually got your start as a result of being at a pagan military circle that Circle Sanctuary is now sponsoring. Welcome.
Hi, Selena. Hello, world. This is actually my first one of these. Yes, as was mentioned, I, in a way, I am one of the individual examples of the importance of the work that we do on military posts, because a lot of young people definitely find their path within paganism in the context of military service. What's interesting about that, actually, is I was looking at some of the numbers before we started, and we actually, based on current estimates, now make up, when you combine heathens, pagans, Wiccans, we actually make up about 1% of the military population, which is a higher percentage than even religions that you consider traditional, like Judaism and Islam. And to segue that into what I provide in terms of the military ministries, for those listening who are veterans and have military experience, we all know the challenges that we face when we transition out of military service. You know, we have this very distinct culture. It has its own language. You have your friend group that's associated with your work. But one of the unique challenges, I think, for us is that, in a sense, it's also a transition with regard to religion. Because thanks to the open circles and thanks to the DRGLs, the distinctive religious group leaders, paganism is actually relatively well organized in the military context. And a lot of times when you leave the military, you don't know kind of where to start in terms of, you know, do you go to your local metaphysical shop? Do you try to find a coven, all those sorts of things. And the military was actually kind of your access to your religion too. So what I do is I'm one of the administrators for the Pagan Military Association, which is one of the services that Circle Sanctuary provides. We are a Facebook group that it's a very flexible tool. We are part digital church when we do rituals at times like Memorial Day. We are part networking because we field a lot of the questions from soldiers saying, you know, hey, is there an open circle or is there a service at, you know, this base or this installation? And then we find out that information. So, that's one of the main services that I provide, is making sure that once people, you know, become pagan in the military context, they still have a way of staying connected even after they leave the service. If anybody wants to join out there that's listening, it's for veterans, it's for those currently serving, and anybody who's just sort of a family member or otherwise supportive.
Yeah, thank you so much for your ongoing work with that ongoing network. The ordination that we did with Judith and James and our third new minister, Andrew, who is eco-chaplain, we did online this year, just as we did ordinations online last year. So you were you went back to Fort Bragg for your ordination, which I thought was really amazing to have a full circle of getting your rev at a place where you first started on the pagan path.
Yeah, it felt very complete for a couple reasons. First, like that community out there is really amazing, and I have to kind of give a shout out to Christine Ahrens, who's the DRGL out there, and that entire community, because, you know, it's an amazing thing for us, given that we're a new religious movement. Like they've been doing it out there for 20 years, so that community out there, it's a tight-knit, long-running community. You can feel the energy off of the sacred land out there because they've been using that piece of land out there for quite some time. So it was really nice to be able to kind of complete that journey, because that's where I became pagan, and that's where I ended up physically, you know, getting ordained. So, it was really amazing.
And I'm so grateful that I was there for the 10th anniversary of the Fort Bragg Open Circle, and was there in spirit for the 20th anniversary. You were there in person. Thank you so much for sharing about Fort Bragg as well as the Pagan Military Association. I also want to do a shout-out to Circle Sanctuary Minister Tiffany Andes, who is an Air Force veteran, and she has been specializing in providing some support to veterans with PTSD and other challenges that have come from military service. She's our coordinator of our DRGL training program and our open circles, and she's here in spirit with us. And Michelle Beauchiers, who is a Circle Sanctuary minister, now retired, and an Army veteran, was very instrumental in helping us develop our Open Circles program, and I was able to spend time at Fort Gordon and do not only a service with her when she was the DRGL there, as well as coordinator of our program, but actually did some diversity training with chaplains at that location. Someone else in our training program now is Allison Klein, and she is the DRGL of our circle at the Air Force Academy. And so these are just a few of some of the people who are part of Open Circles, and I also want to do a shout-out for Michelle Morris of the Fort Hood Open Circle, which celebrated its 20th anniversary a few years ago, pre-pandemic, so I was able to be there for that. So Open Circles are an important part of us providing support not only to those who are serving, but to loved ones, and in many of these Open Circles, in addition to the active duty people that are there and family members, we have veterans who are part of the circles. And being able to have ceremonies that really support military pagans is really important. So I'd like to invite Circle Sanctuary Minister Dave Sassman to talk a bit about his work with veterans as a whole and pagan veterans in particular. We haven't had the Pagan Spirit Gathering in person for a couple years, but we hope to have that happen in 2022. And for a number of years, he and his wife, Gail, have co-facilitated our Warrior Blessing Ritual. So welcome, Dave.
Well, thank you, Selena. It's always an honor and a privilege to be with you on this show whenever it happens. Now, in regard to the Warrior Blessing Ritual, we've been doing it for about, 10 years at PSG, and then we had to skip a couple of years, but I did do them locally, and I've also modified the Warrior Blessing Rituals to celebrate D-Day last year, and then I created a special memorial service for the USS Indianapolis and the men who went down with her last year. And the whole process continues to grow, and I have, over the years, I probably sent out 150 to 200 copies of the ritual electronically or through the mail. So I don't know. I know the ritual has spread, but I don't know how often it's been repeated all over the country. So that's because it's a ritual that belongs to the community, not just me.
Well, and I'm very thankful for your contributions to evolving it. And I was going through some archives of photos earlier today so that I could share some images from the Warrior Blessing Ceremony at Pagan Spirit Gathering. And I have a photo up at the Pagan Military Association Facebook page and some other places in social media. One of the things that I've appreciated about that particular ritual, there is a way to honor those who have served and who have died, so we remember the dead. There is a way of honoring those who are presently serving, and there's also a way of being able to give support to families and friends of those who have, the military families that have loved ones who are serving and who have served. We also have, as part of that ceremony, a really powerful piece for those who are missing in action. Do you want to say a little bit about the altar you have set up for that? And
sure. Be glad to. It's called The Table for One. There are a variety of versions of it. Ours is pretty intact, so that it's interfaith. We don't have any symbols on our altar representing any specific faith or faith path, where if you go into almost every American Legion, VFW, AMVETS post, DAV post, there is a table for one set up in each post. So we are just carrying on the tradition of a table for one, honoring those who are POW MIAs in all wars. And it's a very touching, tear-welling, emotional part of the ceremony. Because we've talked about those who have passed, but we don't know what has happened to those who are still at POW MIAs. And it's surprising how many people have come up to me over the years and said, my dad was a POW, or my uncle was a POW, or my great-grandfather was a POW. And it brought back memories of those folks who have passed on or are still with that person, and it really touched their hearts.
Yes, and I do think one of the real values, and not only that part of the ceremony, but the ceremony as a whole, and other ceremonies that are providing support for veterans and for those who are serving and loved ones, it's an opportunity to have community gather around and provide support, not only to have appreciation for service, but service involves sacrifice and challenges, and being able to have a place where people can grieve as needed, as well as laugh and celebrate good times, I think is really an important piece. 10 years ago at Veterans Day, we made public the Pagan Military Service Ribbon, and that is something that you and I have, I guess, worked together with the design, and we have been sending them at the warrior blessing ceremony and other ceremonies around the U.S., and sometimes we've done them via podcast. I'm hoping at some point to be able to figure out the logistics to do Zoom and everything. The Circle Sanctuary office is not fully functioning in the way that it was pre-pandemic. We're all volunteer now, so at some point I do expect we will have some more awarding of the Pagan Military Service Ribbon. Do you want to say a little bit about how that came to be?
Sure, I'd be happy to. 10 years ago, after the Pentacle Quest, 10 years after the Pentacle Quest, Selena and I started talking about what was next and how can we continue to honor those who serve. Because Circle created a medal with a pentacle on it for those who participated in and helped write letters and make phone calls during the Pentacle Quest. And I felt it was important to continue that tradition to those who came in after the Pentacle Quest, those followers of a faith-based path. And Selena and I collaborated for about 5 or 6 months and came up with a design and interpretation. I'm not sure how many we've handed out, but I think it's probably about 800 or so, I think.
Yes, it's hundreds, and it's red, white, and blue with a gold acorn in the center on a blue field. And I know for the design piece, as we discussed that, I proposed the acorn not only because it's been linked as a symbol of strength and potential and good fortune in a number of different traditions, but it's something that heathens and druids and Wiccans and a whole lot of other pagans have as a sacred image, as, you know, part of ritual work. And we've been able to accommodate people, pagans from a variety of different traditions with it. I do think the whole idea of being able to physically present the pagan military service ribbons in person has been, it's been very powerful. And yet we've also figured out ways to do it via podcasting. And I want to give thanks to David and Jeanette, our whole podcasting team, over time, where from time to time we supplemented all the in-person work that we did with a podcast presentation, followed up with the mailing the Pagan Military Service ribbon out to those who took part in the ceremony with us. And I know that one of the wonderful things about ceremony is that it not only draws people together, but it's memorable, and it certainly helps express in a very focused kind of way of appreciation. So I'm very thankful that we now are celebrating 10 years of having the Pagan Military Service Ribbon. Pinnacle Quest was a 10-year quest, and it met with success in 2007. And I'd like to invite David Ewing, who's multitasking here, doing some engineering, to share a bit about your work with not only the Pinnacle Quest, but the Order of the Pinnacle is something that was established at Veterans Day in 2006. So we're celebrating the 15th anniversary of that part of Circle Sanctuary's military ministry. So, David, I invite you to talk a bit about the Order of the Pinnacle and some of your impressions of working with the Pinnacle Quest. You were at Arlington National Cemetery after we met with success, but you were also at rallies and things when we were still in the midst of it all.
Right. I remember we, my wife and I, we got started, got involved with the quest really at a Freedom of Religion rally that was held on July 4th in downtown D.C., Washington, D.C., and there were a few of those held over a few years to kind of bring awareness of pagans in the world and, you know, demanding and standing up for religious freedom and the right to worship and to be without persecution, which, you know, is still going on in places and stuff, and, you know, fighting for acceptance and things. And we, so we were, there was that, and I remember we all went to visit Barry Lynn from Americans United for Separation of State to where you did some awesome progress, you know, very productive networking and they got involved with that, with the fight with the VA, which the rally was held like within a block of the headquarters of the Veterans, you know, Department of Veterans Affairs. So the VA was, I mean, if they could open the windows, they could hear us if they were allowed to open windows. Government buildings can't do that and that kind of stuff. But, you know, we were right there and for that. And then with the Order of the Pinnacle, I remember that was kind of came about from as partly as a reaction the statements that were going on during the Pentacle Quest of, well, there aren't that many pagans in the military, are there? I mean, there aren't that many in there. I mean, there haven't been that many. There aren't that many. I mean, how? What is it, like just a few? Like maybe a 100 or so? I mean, it can't be that many. What do we need to do this for? Why do we need to approve their own symbol? There haven't been that many pagans who served in the military. And in my mind, part of that, well, you know, establishing the Order of the Pentacle to gather, to put together this net, the support network, and really kind of get information about who has or is serving, who has, as a pagan, who sees the Pentacle as their emblem of belief, you know, who they are, when they serve, what their rank, what was their rank, when did, where did they serve, you know, what combat actions and everything else, what decorations did they have. We have folks who have signed, who have joined the Order of the Pentacle who are up to senior officer, like 06, you know, colonels and Navy captains and that rank level. We've got folks that have bronze stars and silver stars and you know, with valor and stuff, so they have served valorously in service throughout decades. From I mean, we have members of the Quest that go back to Vietnam, you know, that have served since then, and others from other countries. We also have accept allied forces like Canadians. We have some Canadians who've joined the Order of the Pentacle. We have some from Britain who've joined. And it's been very good for that, and we have a Facebook group for that too, for networking and sharing experiences and stuff, and that's been really really useful. And we were at one of the at Arlington National Cemetery when one of the markers there was dedicated, and Jeanette and I were able to attend the first dedication of a Pentacle emblazoned marker at Arlington Cemetery. And since then, we've visited Arlington Cemetery and visited their, like, 8 markers with pentacles on them and a few with Thor's hammers as a result of the work that, Selena, that you did at Circle and so many others did to make these happen.
Yeah, it's been really amazing to see the growth and understanding about the fact that pagans are part of the U.S. military and allied forces. I remember on a podcast that we did, Ray Buckland, in the last part of his life, he came out as an Air Force veteran on one of our podcasts as we were doing the Pagan Military Service Ribbons, and was very thankful. The Royal Air Force in the UK, and he told me later it really meant a lot to him to be able to be acknowledged, to have that part of his life acknowledged in a pagan way. So what I'd like to do now is invite each of you here with me to share a bit more about supporting military pagans. You know, why is it important, or an example of how somebody has benefited from one or more of the ministries that we have had. I guess I'll start by saying that from time to time I will do live streams on my Fox Update Facebook page. Sometimes I'm on the Circle Sanctuary Facebook page, and sometimes the Pagan Military Association page. And I put up some things today, did a live stream to let people know about this tonight. And it's amazing the people who happen to find it and talk about their all the experiences in the military and how they're so thankful that it's now more possible to be visible as a military pagan. So I see that as a really positive thing. And I'm wondering, Pam, if you have some other remarks about, you know, why, you know, why are open circles important to people who are in the military, who are pagan?
you know, they what's that saying? There are no atheists in the foxhole. It goes along with that. It seems that there's a prevalence of Abrahamic religions in the military, and people who follow our paths don't necessarily have that connection for spirit, that guidance, that accommodation for spiritual matters. And that is what's so important. I can't tell you the part, I'm going to start tearing up here. Part of the reason I feel so close to so many of the students that went through Shepherd to this day, I've been gone for 6 years. To this day, I'm still very close to my pagans that went through there, because we shared life, struggles. We were a community. And I think that that's what's so important, because we're giving people, we're feeding their spirit, and we're also creating community. I hope I don't sound too hokey, but it means a lot to me.
Well, I totally agree, and I know when after 9/11, when Operation Enduring Freedom was launched and U.S. military started going to Afghanistan, it became very apparent that we as a community needed to provide some support to people who were going over and taking part in that action. And then the war in Iraq also happened. So the emergence of our pagan military prayer cards came about. I did some checking. I called around various military offices to find out what was being permitted in war zones. I went to Central Command, which was in Florida at the time, and talked with chaplains there as well as other people, and told them about our prayer card project. They were very supportive of it. We're continuing to have prayer cards that we make available, and thanks to Judith for finding a cover stock that we no longer, it kind of has a built-in kind of lamination. We no longer have to do the extra step of putting them in plastic. So it's a greener alternative, and they're sturdy and hold up. And those who are listening that may want to have one or both, we have two types of prayer cards. You can see information about that at our Circle Military Ministries page at the Circle Sanctuary website. And we send this out as a way of providing support. Judith, you've talked a bit about your work at Great Lakes. And what do you see as the importance for providing support to military pagans? I know some of the people who come to services that you've done are seekers. They haven't really become pagan identified, and we're really not trying to convert people to paganism, but a lot of people do have a real spiritual need and find their way to paganism. So I'm wondering if you have some additional thoughts about why the services that you've provided, and I know you get feedback from the recruits, have been helpful for people.
Yeah, it's very much a service of education. Very, very few of the recruits that come to the Nature Spirituality Services are actually pagans or heathens or Astru. We have a few. I've always been kind of surprised, but the majority of the recruits are curious. So this is a really wonderful opportunity to introduce them to another way of thinking about the world around them, and the wheel of the year and the phases of the moon. And I have gotten such wonderful reception. Unfortunately, unlike Pam,
These recruits come and go. I don't really get a chance to form a lasting relationship with them, but hopefully it's giving them things to think about. And along with the handouts that I've done for the Navy and the military correctional complex, the Navy also asked for book recommendations, and they purchased books on paganism for each and every one of their ships. So we're kind of really stretching out and at least having information available. And the prayer cards, they go like crazy after each one of my services. So many of the recruits want to have some ritualistic item to carry with them into their service. So even such a small thing as a prayer card, and they're only as big as business cards, makes a difference and really stretches our outreach.
Yeah, thank you. And James, you've done a variety of different ceremonies. I know you live streamed a Memorial Day ceremony a number of years ago. And as somebody who's been in ceremonies back in your early days at Fort Bragg to somebody who is now conducting ceremonies, I'd be interested in hearing some of your thoughts about the importance of ritual in providing support to military pagans.
Happy to, Selena. So I'd say the biggest thing, as I've heard others speak, the biggest thing for me in terms of the value provided to the service members that we are, and not just us, but us chaplains, the sort of religious process generally, but we are a vital component of it specifically. We are so important to helping service members process the military experience. What I have found, and I think this is probably confirmed by most studies of trauma, is that most people don't go out into the world looking to change their worldview, to include their religion. And yet it happens, I'd say, more often in the military context than perhaps in any other segment of society. And I think the reason that that occurs is because the nature of the work challenges you with experiences that you wouldn't otherwise experience. A lot of times the first time a person engages with death is going to happen in the context of military. There a lot of personal tragedies can occur. There are accidents, there are divorces, there are all of these things that kind of come as hazards to military life. And even things that are more simple than that, a happy example in my case was that before basic training, I had never slept outside. I was that disconnected from nature coming into the military. So you are bombarded as a service member with these new experiences that challenge everything that you thought was true. And I think that's one of the reasons that despite the fact that we don't proselytize, paganism grows, because as paganism, in its emphasis on nature and its emphasis on cycles and death and rebirth, it very much fits the military experience, and it helps a lot of people who otherwise would be left with the ashes, basically, of what they thought before. It provides that new foundation for a lot of people who are being challenged by their experiences. And I think the ritual specifically helps people process those traumas specifically, whether it be of death or before deployment or after deployment. Really, if we provide anything specifically, these are things that probably other groups would do well to kind of emulate from us, that we have lost these traditions of this is how you send a warrior off and this is how you welcome them back and this is how we deal with death and all of these things related to warrior processes. So
yeah, I agree, and I know, having been at a number of military installations where we have an open circle presence, interfacing with chaplains that there are dynamics that have to do with service in the military that really can be supported by having spiritual activities, and including rituals and celebrations. They serve as anchor points, and I invite Dave Schaffman to talk a bit about helping pagan veterans in need. One of the things that I've done, and a number of us on the Pagan Circle Sanctuary's Pagan Military Ministries team have done, is provide some support to people who are having medical journeys in a VA hospital, and as well as at some of the ceremonies we do, there's the expression of emotion and release, and that can be a very powerful turning point. Certainly, I do a lot of work at the Circle Cemetery. We have an area called Veterans Ridge, and in fact, Dave and I have done some things, some ceremonies together in connection with some of the grave markers there, and Sergeant Patrick Stewart, who was killed in action in Afghanistan, whose story became very prominent as we worked to get the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to add the Pinnacle to their list of emblems that can be on grave markers, the 10-year Pinnacle Quest about.
Thanks.
So I'm wondering, Dave, if you can just, you know, share a bit about the whole therapeutic part of support for those who have served who are pagan. I know that you do a lot of work with veterans in hospitals, and a lot of them aren't pagan, but you also have provided some support, some good hugs and refreshments after warrior blessing ceremonies.
Yes. There are often times after the warrior blessing ritual, people will come up and say, I really needed that. This is the first time I've experienced some of these feelings in years, and thank you. And I interpret that as this is the first step for my healing process. Maybe I'm putting too much into it, but that's how it comes across to me. But the whole warrior blessing ritual is a first step in healing, because so many of us don't want to acknowledge the things that we saw. They don't want to acknowledge the fact that we went over there as teenage young men and we became damaged somehow, chipped or cracked or however you want to explain it. And we never went through a regenerative process. So the warrior blessing ritual is rather cathartic in that way, because it allows them to manage their own acknowledgement of their brokenness. And I've not done one warrior blessing ritual where it was entirely tearless. Somebody's always crying. Somebody is always weeping. Somebody's always wailing sometimes. And it's painful to watch them go through that. But it's a blessing to see how they come out the other side.
Yeah, I agree. And I also know when I've done my presentation of the Pagan Military Service Ribbons, and it's usually in the context of some ritual or presentation I'm doing at a major conference or festival pre-pandemic time when I jet around all over the place, how moving that is to actually be a ceremony and to get appreciated within a pagan context, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I I think one of the real powerful things about pagans in the military is as the numbers have grown in the military, so has the awareness in the larger pagan community of the warriors that are part of the pagan world and the importance of providing appreciation and support for pagans who have served and are serving and are part of military families. And so I'd like to conclude and ask, David, you've done quite a few podcasts. We've had we're kind of going full circle, you know, with Pam and Pagan Warrior Radio 10 years ago, and we've done all sorts of podcasts with some of the different podcast shows we've had over the years, including now that we have Circle Sanctuary has its own podcast network. If you can share a bit before we conclude about being able to do some of these special podcasts, and I know you have seen comments that have come into chat and have been part of a variety of shows. Do you want to share a few words about podcasting and how that also is a support for military pagans?
Oh, definitely. And I want to kind of chime in there and follow up with, kind of build up on what Dave Sashman was saying about the warrior blessing ritual, because we've led that here in the D.C. metro area quite a few times. And, you know, it has been a powerful experience every time. There's always, you know, folks that have needed it. And sometimes we'll have somebody who attends it every time, and every time they get something more or they need it something more and stuff. So it really does, those in-person things are really great. And doing the podcasts, starting with Pagan Warrior Radio, and then we were with Circle Talk, and that continues on with Deborah Rose, and, you know, doing the Pagan Military podcast that we've done with the ribbons and the recognitions and stuff. What I find that's really important is that is a great way for us to reach out and connect with people live who aren't anywhere near where any of the rest of us are. For some time, the PMSR, the Pagan Military Service Ribbon, to receive one, you had to attend something where a circle military minister was attending to be presented the ribbon in person, kind of a thing. And then when we worked out the details and logistics to do them on the podcasts, there were times where we had a lot of people call in from all around the country because that recognition and that involvement and that sense of being connected, even through, like we are doing, and we're talking on the phone, you know, basically it's a phone call, is still, I mean, we receive, I mean, we experience how powerful it is. My wife, Jeanette, and I, we kind of like, this has really been something. And to hear the stories, you know, because we all need to know that we're a part of something and that there are others who have experienced a similar thing. And being military, we all kind of have in some ways, but pagan military, we're such a minority in the world, in the U.S., that ability to reach out and connect and have some sort of connection, even through podcasts, has been very important, and we've really gotten a lot of good feedback from folks who really did. It was very emotionally, very emotional for them, you know. Sort of like when we sent the packages off during Desert Storm, Desert Shield, or during the operations there. Mm-hmm. But, so that's, I think it's been a great experience, and the feedback we've received, at least, has been very positive. That people got something out of it, the experience.
Well, I'm thankful for all of you who have been sharing experiences and perspectives in our podcast tonight. I give thanks to everybody listening live. Yes, we have, now that Circle Sanctuary has Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, CSNP, we've expanded the podcasting platforms we're on. And so thanks to all who have tuned in live and those who will be listening later. I'd like to conclude with the Powers of Nature Warrior blessing that is on one of our prayer cards. It's on the Operation Circle Care prayer card, and I created this many years ago as part of a Veterans Day observance and ritual at Circle Sanctuary Land. Powers of Sacred Earth, bless and protect warriors who serve on and inland. Powers of Sacred Air, bless and protect warriors who serve in and through air. Now add and space, now that there's a space force. Powers of Sacred Fire, bless and protect warriors who serve with and under fire. Powers of Sacred Water, bless and protect warriors who serve on, in, and by water. Powers of Sacred Spirit, bless and protect warriors who serve and their loved ones. So be it. Wishing all a blessed Veterans Day, and thanks to all for your service, and thanks to all who have tuned in. So as we go into Veterans Day, let us remember to give thanks to veterans of many paths, and especially giving thanks to those who are pagan, who are part of our larger pagan world. Thank you all for being part of this show, and have a great night. So be it.
An American soldier came home today, wrapped up as cargo in an American flag. He asked for one sweet silent symbol on his grave, but the VA gun said, "Sorry, son, request a night." Well, he served as any other with his hands and with his heart. He prayed to Father Sky, he bowed down to Mother Earth. He honored air and water and the fire he danced around, but you didn't honor him before you put him in the ground. It's a symbol, it's a sign, it stands for everything divine. Excuse me, sir, I think you're on that check since the last time I read the doctrine. It said, practicing your faith is not a crime, so let this soldier rest, honor his request. You sent that little girl crying home from school, told her she was evil and she disobeyed the rules. You took away her pendant, grandmother's gift, but the other kids are free to wear their crucifix. And she knows that if you that you'll have her expelled. She's frightened every member of the family's going to hell. She's all messed up, she's 5 years old, she doesn't know her rights, but her daddy is a lawyer, so get ready for the fight. Freedom to stand up and fight for what we believe in. He's a believer and he wears it on his arm. First day new job, he set off all of the alarms. The memo spread like wildfire that the devil had arrived, and the virus got to corporate and they fired him by five. Now fight so hard for. For what we believe in, freedom of speech, freedom of faith, freedom of religion, freedom to stand up and fight. For what we believe in, freedom of speech, freedom of faith.
On the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.